is gonna keep. Oh yeah, alright. Take it easy, baby. Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
This is Deborah Craddock, a podcast where we sit down with everyday Americans and hear their extraordinary stories. I'm your host, Deborah Drucker. Come along with me as we discuss those things that we were always told not to talk about: politics, religion, and more. I promise you'll be inspired and have your mind opened by the end of this episode.
Well, it was kind of cold that night. She stood alone on the balcony. Yeah, she could hear the cars roll by out on 441, like waves crashing on the beach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Deborah Craddock. Today on Deborah Craddock, we are going to meet Lizette El-Hayani. Lizette is an immersive experience creator who designs unforgettable events that connect brands to people. She is involved in sustainability, the fight for equality, and advocates for peace in the Middle East. Her latest life passions are fostering pugs, roller skating, hot yoga, and nature trips in her scamp camping trailer. Today, we are going to find out what makes Lizette the fantastic person that she is. Hey, Lizette.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for making the drive.
Me too.
So you live in LA now, but where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Los Angeles, actually. Born and raised in West Hollywood, California.
That's funny. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Lizette is my cousin. I know a lot of her story, but I don't know all of her story, and I wanted you guys out there to hear the story from Lizette herself. So growing up in LA, it's funny that you tell me this, because I actually thought you were born in Israel.
No, I think I was conceived in Israel, but actually born here in Los Angeles at Cedars-Sinai Hospital.
All right. And Who did you grow up with in Los Angeles?
Who did I grow up with? I grew up with my family. Lots and lots of family. We come from a big family. There are 8 of them on my mom's side and 8 of them on my dad's side. So yeah, grew up with a lot of family and a lot of cousins, all of us mostly in like around West Hollywood, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills adjacent.
But in your specific household, what was the family dynamic there? Was it a mom and dad?
Well, my mom and dad divorced when I was around 4. So I had the two of them for the first few years of my life. And then there was a divorce. And I stayed mostly with my mom and my 2 sisters at the time.
And where are you in the lineup of sisters?
I am the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the middle child. But both parents remarried, and so there are now a total of 6 of us in our blended family.
What was that home life like?
It was a lot of family life. It was a lot of family life. I think it took a village. My mom was a single mom. At that point, my dad, like I said, they divorced when I was a young age. My dad actually moved to Israel when I was 9. So a lot fell on my mom as a single mom, and she worked a lot. So there was a lot of grew up around a very strong work ethic and grew up kind of in a lot of ways being independent and learning to take care of myself and take care of my sisters. But there was a lot of joy and good times. My mom worked really hard to make sure we had everything we could have. And she always kept us in neighborhoods that were safe. And we were blessed to be able to walk to places and experience the world on our own.
So was that a happy upbringing?
Yeah, I would say it was happy. It was happy and hard. You know, I think there was a lot of duality in my life.
And I know, I remember anyway, that you really loved basketball as a kid.
Yes, I did.
Do you still?
I played through high school. And I do, yeah. I actually have a little basketball court in my house that was like the 12-year-old dream that I kind of gave myself at the age of 38. And it's a great therapy for me still.
All right.
Yeah.
And being of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. at which point did you realize that you were gay?
I realized I was gay actually my freshman year in high school. I came across a gay movie on HBO or on some cable channel, and it struck me. I just really connected to it, and it helped me make sense of actually feelings I was having for another classmate that I didn't quite understand at the time. It was about two high school girls actually who had a crush and fell for each other. It just felt like this full circle moment where like everything within me made sense. I was able to understand. So I definitely didn't grow up with a lot of lesbians in my life. My mom had a gay best friend, but I went to Jewish private school, religious Orthodox private school most of my life. So like there really wasn't a lot of gay examples in my world.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how did you reckon with that? Like, did you keep it a secret for a while? And did you experiment?
I did keep it a secret for a little while. My sophomore year, I transferred schools. And for the first time in my life, I went from Jewish private school to a public school. And at 15, I met a woman and we dated. And that was a secret for multiple reasons, actually, not just because I was dating a woman, but also because she technically was an older woman. And yeah, you're welcome to ask. I said it would be an open book here. You can ask me anything. So yeah, I did keep it a secret until the age of 19, which is when I officially came out.
Okay. And when you say kept it a secret, did you have any confidants? Like, did you share that with your sisters? Did they have any idea?
No, I didn't share it with anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're 19, do you say, okay, enough is enough. I've got to share this with my family.
Yeah. 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 At that point, it was a little bit of enough is enough. I'm very close with my sisters. I didn't want to hide who I was. So yeah, around 19-ish was when I told my sisters first. And then my mom in her usual way, she would go roundabout. She would always go to our sisters for information opposed to going to the direct source. So she started asking my sisters about me, and I didn't want my sisters to have to lie on my behalf. And it put them in this very uncomfortable place. And I knew I had to own that. I had to like step up and, you know, and be who I am. And so that was when I eventually came out.
Well, I was so proud of you when you came out. And
thank you.
Your mom, I spoke to her actually, and she was very traumatized.
Very.
And I said, honey, you've got three daughters and one is gay. It is not your fault.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of parents blame themselves or try to find a reason in it.
Yeah.
And I think that must be complicated for the parent and for the child.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I can understand where it'd be complicated for the parents. And especially, I mean, this was over 20 something years ago. It was not as accepted. It was not as understood or seen as it is now. So, you know, my mom is Moroccan. I'm first generation, born in America. She comes from a completely different world. So I can understand that was difficult for her. And there was a lot of trauma. She cried every day for 2 years after I came out.
Well, we're going to get back to that because I want to go back to the formative years.
Great.
So when you were growing up, now you're just with your mom and she's working like crazy to support three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Were politics even a thing, or did anybody ever talk about politics, or was that something that was discussed in the household?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when did you first acknowledge politics?
I mean, as soon as I turned 18, I voted the very first election that I could. So Al Gore was the first candidate I had voted for. That was an upset of a loss, but I knew I still needed to continue to show up and vote. I think because I was a gay woman as well, and because gay marriage wasn't legal and wasn't allowed at the time, like for me, I understood how important it was for me to get out there and vote.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't have the same equal rights, right? As this queer woman, I don't have the same equal rights as everybody else. And so for me, I knew the only way that was going to change was for me to be able to show up and vote and take that change into my hands. So I think that was like a big push into like what really got me into politics and got me caring.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And in your house,
mm-hmm.
was there a lot of religion?
There was a lot of religion. There still is a lot of religion.
So coming out as a gay woman must be even an added layer there because
absolutely.
Of a conservative religious family.
Correct.
So how did that fire spread through the family, and what were the ramifications of that?
It was hard. It's still hard, honestly. My mother still struggles to fully accept it and accept me. I think she still prays for me to be straight. When I first came out, it was like I came out to her, but she didn't want the family knowing yet. For many, many years, she didn't want my grandmother knowing. So it was still like, I'm out, but I have to still be kept a secret. So that was difficult.
Religion, though, still plays a role in shaping you.
It does.
How so?
I think a big part of the reason I am the human being that I am today is because of my religion, and is because of the core values that were instilled in me from my religion at a very young age. Like I said, I went to Orthodox Jewish private school from mommy and me to 10th grade. And granted, we were not Orthodox. We, for many years, didn't keep kosher in the house. We weren't observant of Shabbat. It was only later in life that my mom became more religious and became about those things. But still, it was just being raised with these like very strong core Jewish values that have shaped me, and it's something I'm still very proud of.
Being that you are a person of faith,
mm-hmm.
and coming from a conservative family, do you feel that there's a conflict between the religious faith and the lifestyle that you live as a gay woman?
You know, I think once upon a time it felt like conflict. And I think when I let like my ego self be in the way, it feels like conflict. But I when I move past that, I know and I trust in God, and that I am exactly who I am and who he or she made me to be. And so I trust in that, and I trust in the universe. I trust in God. I trust in Mother Nature. I trust in all these things that I am exactly as I am intended to be. And again, I think this is where like, I'm like, I think duality exists. Like, I think you can be all things. I'm not just Jewish and I'm not just queer. I am both. And so it was just trusting in that and in myself, and in that, like, it's okay to be as you are. We are different. It's a beautiful thing to celebrate our differences, and also a beautiful thing to celebrate our similarities. And, you know, and we can be different, but we're all still human at the end of the day.
Very well said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And so when you are 19 now, you're out of high school, mm-hmm. you're on your way to figuring out what your career is going to be. And I see that you fall into this events and catering manager at Temple Sinai.
Yes, I started working at Sinai Temple, which is a large Reform temple here in Westwood.
So that's your entree into this event planning space.
Yeah, that was. I mean, my mother was a caterer, so I grew up in that world. And so I naturally fell into that. It was kind of like my first job was as a coat check, then eventually became a waitress, and then eventually a manager. And so I kind of fell in it. I wouldn't really say it's what I wanted to do, but I did fall in it and did the social side of events for many years, till I got to a point where it just felt like Groundhog Day and I couldn't do another wedding or bris or bar mitzvah. And that was when I explored and wanted to understand more of what was out there in the space. And that was when I found corporate planning.
And, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then is it immediately that you go from Sinai to working for 12 years at Freshwater, which is an event design house?
Correct.
And what was your job there?
There I started off as a producer, as a event producer and designer, and then eventually became vice president of the company.
Nice.
Yeah.
And was that where you started to intersect with like the Netflix and the Nickelodeons and these big corporate events?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, Sprint was a really big client of ours when I first started out, and Dermalogica. And that's kind of what propelled me into more of like the corporate side of event planning. And what once was just like event planning now is called experiential marketing.
Because it's more interactive.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
More immersive as well.
Immersive, yeah.
Yeah.
So working in corporate events, what would your role be and what kind of events would you be working on?
Yeah, my role and title is currently as a sustainable experiential producer, director. Prior to that, I was just an event producer and director or event designer. So I kind of have carried various roles, and we work on everything from movie premieres to trade shows, mobile tours, pop-ups, product launches. Most recently, we did get to open up Netflix's first restaurant. It was called Netflix Bites, and it was a pilot concept that they were testing. And so really it was meant to just like feel out the market, see how people respond and react to it, and see if it was something worth continuing. And despite somewhat poor timing, because it opened during the writer's strike, or just as the writer's strike happened and people felt a lot of ways for Netflix. Despite all that, there were still a lot of really great positive reviews and a lot of great positivity that came through it. And they are now working on opening up more more permanent spaces.
In the restaurant
industry? In the restaurant industry, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have fun?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You enjoy it?
It's a roller coaster. Okay. It's a roller coaster for sure. I enjoy seeing something from start to finish. I enjoy creating something that didn't exist that now exists. You know, there's a lot of joy and passion in that. I do my best work when I'm really a fan of the company because I understand them as a fan. And I just enjoy the experience more.
So do you draw the line in the sand at corporations that don't align with your personal ethos?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I usually will say no to that. And that's been a big part of this starting this new company too, is having the freedom to say no to work.
Amazing.
Yeah. I've been doing this for many years. I'm 43 now. I want to feel good about the work that I'm doing.
Okay. And I see that you co-founded Good All Day Collective in 2020.
Yes.
Wow. That was a leap of faith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we started to work on this company in 2019. So before we knew anything about the pandemic and just the way timing worked, you know, it's a process to set up your website, get incorporated, do all of this, the funding that I needed to raise. And so by the time all that came together, we actually launched March 3rd, 2020, which was 2 weeks before stay-at-home orders and before a complete industry shutdown in my world. So yeah, it was a very challenging time, and we're happy to say we're about to be celebrating 4 years in business now. So,
well, congratulations and mazel tov.
Thank you. Thank you.
And how did you ride out the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic?
We pivoted, actually. We created our own line of experience boxes. My same clients still had shows. They still had things they needed to promote. And so they were doing that in this way where they were sending out mailer kits to their bloggers, press outlets, their clients, essentially all over the world. And so we pivoted and moved into that. And so we did our own line of like experience boxes. I love merch. I love design in general. So whether it's an event or merch or house architecture, it doesn't matter. Like, I love design through and through. So yeah, we leaned on again, doing virtual events, created our own line of virtual events as well, and doing these experience boxes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is a all female run company.
Correct. It was just important for me to, for like our core founders and our C-suite to be all women owned. And honestly, when I can work with other women owned companies, I do. I prefer that. It is a very male dominated world. And even in this world, it's very male dominated. And, you know, and why not open up the doors for more women and more women in business?
Bravo. And so that takes me just to a general political question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about bodily autonomy and women's rights being stripped away?
I feel horrible about it. It frustrates me to no end. It's very, very, very upsetting. Women should have every right to decide what they want to do with their body, what they do and don't want to do.
It's like a double hit,
yeah.
Female and then gays being stripped of rights.
That's right.
But let's be optimistic.
Yes.
You know, progress, sometimes it's two steps forward, one step
That's
back.
Right.
So
That's right. It is a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I very much am optimistic, and I believe in a better future that I think is coming
good
our way.
I'm glad to hear it. And you are a self-proclaimed good Moroccan Jew. So tell me what good Moroccan Jew means.
It means I try and live a life of, you know, integrity, compassion, empathy, care, kindness, love. Like, I really try and stay in the light. I see the world through a glass that is half full. I believe in opportunity. I believe anything is possible. So, you know, I just try and stay in that light.
Well, that's what I get from you.
Yeah.
I get all loving, all optimistic, and just wonderful energy.
Thank you. Thank
you. So thanks for bringing it today.
Absolutely.
You say that your mom was your role model.
Yes.
And who is your biggest role model today?
That's a good question. I mean, my mom is my sister. I have many role models. So my mom in some ways absolutely still is, always will be. Her determination to survive some of like the hardest things life has thrown at her. She just continues to keep going. I'll forever look up to her for her strength.
All right. Well, tell me more about your passions. I know one of them is that you're very passionate about the climate and clean water.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I care a lot about Mother Earth. I think we all should. you know, I hope to have kids one day and I need this earth to survive and to exist to raise my family on. So yeah, sustainability, that was a big part of also in starting my company, was wanting to be very mindful of what we create. There's absolutely a lot of waste that goes into the work that I do. And I'm not a fan of that. And I don't want to contribute to that.
Is there any recycling to be had there?
There is and there can be, but oftentimes it doesn't really happen.
Okay.
Yeah. So I work to do that. I align myself with different companies that specialize in just that. So they'll come after an event and recycle the waste or donate what's left over. So that's something that's very important to me.
Well, all you can do is try, right?
That's right.
And it sounds like you are. So thank you for that. And now I see that one of your other passions is fostering pugs.
Yes.
And how did that come to be?
Oh, they're the best. Through the pandemic, we had fostered a pug, and I just fell in love. He was just so much light and life and hilarious, just brought so much joy and laughter into my home. And dogs, I just think dogs are the best. And so I do now have a very soft spot for pugs because they are just so funny and so much energy, and that gave me energy.
So how many have you fostered so far?
I have fostered a handful now. Okay. Yeah. I serve as the foster, so I'm on the interim. So I take care of the dog while the agency or the nonprofit works on finding the homes for them.
And those are nonprofits that are called the Pug Queen.
That's right.
And the LaBelle Foundation.
Correct.
Awesome. And are those both based in LA?
They are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I see also that you started doing hot yoga.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
And is it one of the few times that you're really present when you're in the yoga class?
Yeah. Yeah. That in yoga, I do Krav Maga as well that I started doing, and boxing. Those are all moments
of
presentness.
Krav Maga. Yeah.
It is an Israeli self-defense system, an Israeli self-defense martial arts.
And so are there levels?
There are levels. Yeah. I am not necessarily after a certain belt or anything right now. For me, it was more just about learning self-defense.
Good.
Yeah.
Tell me about roller skating. It's become very, it's a trendy thing now.
It is.
And you were on it at the beginning of the trend. So it's come back.
Yeah, it has come back. I was a big rollerblader growing up. I used to rollerblade all over Hollywood.
That was your
West
generation.
Hollywood.
Mine was skates.
Yours was skates. That's right. That's right. And then actually this past year, we helped open up the first Black-owned roller skating rink in Brooklyn. That was a pop-up that we did for the Roller Wave. And it was such an incredible community. I enjoyed it so much. It brought me back to skating. And since I haven't looked back since then.
I also noticed that you got this really cool camper. It's called a Scamp.
That's right.
It's like a retro camping tow-along camper.
Uh-huh. It's a family-owned business that's been making these for over 50-plus years. And I was really excited. I've been moving through a lot these last few years, and my soul felt like it wanted to heal in nature. I love road trips. And I thought, what better way to challenge myself as well? Because I definitely didn't grow up in nature at all like that. Very much a city girl.
Yeah.
And was all about wanting to challenge myself as I'm pushing through growth these last couple of years. And so I was like, I'm going to get a trailer. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do this on my own. Sometimes I'll do it with friends. Sometimes I'll do it with partners. And it's been great.
Well, you know I'm a fan.
I know you are.
We love to camp.
Yeah.
And I too grew up a city girl.
Yeah.
However, my mom was kind of experimental, and I remember her at one point putting us all in an RV and taking us on a trip because she always wanted to see everything.
Yeah.
You know, that curious spirit of hers definitely transferred to me.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to see it. And there's no better way to see the country. You know, you fly over it, you're not really experiencing it, but driving, and then driving in a vehicle that you can actually pull aside and you can dry dock, or you can pull into nature or BLM land or whatever, and just take advantage of it. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing. I think it's really special.
Where was your biggest adventure? Where'd that take you?
It took me over to Borrego Springs, which is about three and a half hours from Los Angeles. It's actually right by the Mexican border. And I've done Joshua Tree and Santa Barbara and Ojai. And so I kind of started with smaller, closer trips because, again, I was learning this and I was teaching myself for the first time ever. And safety is very important to me. I always say safety first. And so I wanted to make sure I had a good handle on this and how to connect it set it up, drive with it, all of that. And so now I'm feeling more comfortable and in it and ready for some bigger trips.
Okay, well, we have to coordinate a trip.
Yes, I would love that.
So much fun.
I would love that.
So much fun. And I did see also that your favorite title as of this moment is Auntie.
That's right. That's right. It's the best.
Do you say Auntie or Auntie?
Auntie.
Auntie. Yeah. And how many nieces and nephews do you have?
I have two at the moment. And then I have cousins who are like sisters and brothers to me, and they have kids. And so I just see myself as an aunt across the board to all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a big family.
It is a big family.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big, beautiful family.
It is a big, beautiful family.
Yeah.
Someone's always in a fight with someone, too,
well, at any given moment. Big families, right? Yeah, that is true.
I wouldn't change them myself.
Yeah.
So I want to get to some bigger political questions.
Okay.
How do you feel about the political landscape in America right now?
You know, I feel a lot of things about it. I feel disappointed. I mean, I'm grateful that we got Trump out. I hope he never gets back in.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think there is a lot of divide that's happening right now. I still think we're not understanding each other on the levels of which I think we should. For there to be just more lasting change that I think a lot of us want to see. I think there's actually a lot more that we agree upon than we all realize or are aware of, because I think the media is doing a good job at like keeping us divided.
I absolutely feel that, and this is what this program was supposed to be about, is showing that there's more commonality amongst us than there are differences.
Right.
And
I agree with that.
In my lifetime, I've never seen politics be so divisive.
So yeah.
So it's an interesting moment.
Very.
So I know, being from the same family that you're from, that I have definitely butted heads with a couple of my cousins or an uncle or two because we have such differing perspectives on politics. And in the old days, I felt like we could talk about it.
Yeah.
But in these more recent days, it feels like it is really just igniting a fire. So how has that been for you?
Yeah, I actually have had very similar experiences. I have had to really push through this divide, through this conflict, through adversity, and remember that at the end of the day, this is still my family and they love me and I love them, even though I have absolutely felt attacked by the choices they've made and who they have voted for. I have felt attacked in conversations that we've had around it. At one point, I wasn't going to family occasions because we weren't aligned. I wasn't aligned with who they voted for. I wasn't aligned with the conversations that I knew were going to come up around, you know, Trump at the time. And so I kept myself away.
So did you feel that they were voting against your
my rights,
self-interest, or your rights?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. My rights as a woman, my rights as a queer person, even as a Jew. I think a lot of the rise of anti-Semitism that we're seeing was sparked during Trump era.
Well, he certainly aligned himself with the Proud Boys.
Yes,
and
he did.
You know, the marchers in Charlottesville saying Jews will not replace us.
That's
and
right.
Good people on both sides. So I understand where you're coming from, and I could see that that would be offensive to you, because again, voting against issues that would better your situation and your life.
That's right.
Circumstances.
That's right.
Could be very hurtful. I get that. For me, it was more, I am a live and let live person. And I felt someone was putting the clamp on the other people's rights to their life and their lifestyles.
Yep.
So for me, it was a little bit more just, this isn't good for the whole.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
The collective.
That's right.
What, if anything, makes you feel optimistic about the future?
I believe in humanity. So I think just continue to believe in humanity, and that believing in good, believing in light, and that good will always win over evil kind of keeps me optimistic and hopeful. I think if we can remove church and state the way it's supposed to be removed, we can
should
see that.
Right? Should never overlap.
Should never overlap. That's right.
I mean, especially in a country with so many different factions
that's
and
right.
faiths. And
that's right.
And so what is your next move? I mean, you are taking care of the business. You're fostering pugs.
Nurturing a new relationship.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know you've expressed to me before that you want to have kids.
Yes. I hope to in the next couple of years to get to start to have some babies. And I think community has been so important to me. And even in like my recent last couple of years, just really establishing a big community, solid in foundation and rooted in our foundation of shared values, was very important and was part of my preparation to get ready to have kids, because I do think it takes a village to raise kids. I think it's beautiful for you to be able to have a mom and dad, but I think it takes even more than having two parents at home. And whether it's two dads, two moms, I don't think it makes a difference. I think just community and help. I know for me, like we were raised by a single mom, but I was also very much raised by the family. We spent a lot of time at my aunt's houses, my uncle's houses, my grandmother's house, you know, and so that played a big role in helping to shape me. And then I also know my mom had neighbors who helped take care of us, and those neighbors became good family friends of ours.
And I know one other thing that we didn't mention is that you do suffer a bit with depression.
Yeah, depression, anxiety, psoriasis, autoimmune disease. So yeah, there's a few things going.
And how are you dealing with that?
Well, working out, that's when roller skating has been like really helpful. I think just recognizing what does give me joy and giving myself permission to be in those spaces. Talk therapy, community again. Just having, you know, safe spaces amongst friends to be able to let yourself be vulnerable and share. And then moving my body has been like really important, and like understanding that. So whether it's through hot yoga or boxing or roller skating or basketball or bike riding and time in nature, all those things have kind of helped me manage my depression and anxiety.
Good.
Yeah.
And do you feel that there's enough opportunity out there for people who don't have tremendous means? Maybe say even in your community, because I'm sure that there's a lot of emotional strife that mm-hmm. goes on with those who are afraid to come out or have families that are not understanding. Yeah. Do you feel that there's enough support, or there's a way? Are there options out there?
I think there are options out there. I do think there are options out there, and there's more and more options out there that are coming up. So I mean, right down from the LGBTQ center to depending on like what your religion is or what you connect to, there are options out there. But across the board, we absolutely could be doing a lot better about discussing mental health, specifically in this country. I don't think we give it the attention that it fully deserves and that it should have.
Do you feel that the religious institutions support any of that? Did you ever go to your rabbi or discuss anything through your religious?
I never did go to my rabbi with that specifically, but again, I think nowadays, so now there are actually like queer temples, there are queer practices where you can go. Recently been spending some time at one space called Nefesh. It's very accepting, very queer, very open, and it's beautiful to see that those spaces do now exist. Definitely didn't when I was growing up, but they are out there now.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you one more political question, and then I'm going to thank you for all this time you've given me.
Great.
Because, you know, your time is valuable, I honor your time here with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed my time here.
My last question for you mm-hmm. is, if there is just one issue that you could fix, ooh, what is that one issue that concerns you most?
Oh, wow.
In America
yeah.
today?
I mean, there are many things I need to be
what
fixed
are your top
right now.
Three?
My top three would be equality. That's across the board, whether it's for people of color, LGBTQ plus people, trans people. We need to really come together right now and support the trans community. Women's rights. You know, it is a shame. We should not be moving backwards with this. Women deserve every right to have full autonomy of their bodies. And climate change. Yeah. You know, and then I would say with what's happening now, and being that it is my homeland, peace in the Middle East as well, I think is really important. And I believe none of us are free until we're all free. Like, I do believe liberation for all must exist. So
I hope that can come to be.
I hope that can come to be as well.
I really do. Maybe a change in both governments.
Yes.
Would help.
Yes.
In that part of the world.
I'd like to believe so. I think that's where we need to start at least.
Well, let's hope for that. All right. Well, I am so grateful that you were here with me today sharing your story, as I said.
My pleasure.
And
thank you for having me.
I wish you the best. And if I have a major corporation, I'm going to call you for an interactive event because I know from what I witnessed, you put on some amazing events. And have a safe drive home, baby.
Thank you, babe. Thank you.
This episode of Deborah Craddock was hosted by me, Deborah Drucker. It was produced by Lee Rocker, with co-production and editing by Gideon Brower. Our amazing music was performed by Amy Nelson and Kathy Guthrie of Folk Uke. Be sure to rate and review this episode wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Deborah Craddock, check out deborahcraddock.com and our Instagram at Deborah Craddock. That's D-E-B-O-R-A-H Craddock, like Democratic. Until next time.